Today's stuff is stuff dullard, and we're talking about placing certain items like an oven and the like, to how the distance you have to space it from a wall. We're talking about other things that might be hazardous to walls. Okay, we're going to talk about other scenarios soon, but let's have a look. The Gemara says, "How did a tamer that which you're talking about a rechayim? It wasn't so that was a mill, something that's grinding. We said because of the vibrations and like it can be damaging to the wall. We said that's by rechayim de tamanish. The dimensions that we're giving the Mishnah." Refer to the Rechaim of Taman, meaning in Babel. Interestingly, if it's a Mishnah, because in Mishnah, this is Machlek, the Rechaim, Shloshatim Mashefer, three from the bottom and four from the Rechev. Four from the top part. Sorry, yeah, four from the top part that ends up doing the grind, the upper mill. Here we're saying no. For us, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, the designs we have, Ram Berechaim Didan, Shloshah min Itzrobil, three from the Itzrobil. Here is the Moshav Rechaim. Seems to be the housing of the Rechaim, according to the Marafolda. He says it's made of klipat etz, so some sort of wood housing for the mill, which is Arba min HaKalat. The Kalat is the, let's call it the, it's not the same spelling, but the hopper. Okay, fine, that's the distance you have to do it. Now, Vetaranu Shalosh min HaKilya, U Ar the Shehen Arba min HaSafa. We explained that in the Mishnah when it comes to an oven, the distance has to be four, three from the kiliyah. We said that is this like the center, the belly of it, because it goes curves, it's sort of it's conical like a cone, which is back to here, which Arba min HaSafa, which is four from the top. So the question is, what Safa are we talking about? So the Rabbi Yehuda ben Tazi Omer min HaSafa Chitzonav Nifnim. We're talking about from the out, because the thickness of the wall. So is it from the inside, outside? The Gemara simply says from the outside, whereas Rabbanan Amar min HaSafa Pnimit from the inside v'lachutz. So it can be a drop closer. Okay. Hayasu k'shovach. Now, what is exactly a shovach? This is a shovach normally means like a dovecot. But the way the Marafuldik says, he says, the Nuka Yosef Zal Perish, Asui k'shovach, the piv min atzad, k'ayin tanur shelanu. Because the tanurim that we explained in the Mishnah, they're like these conical shapes where you take the bread and stick on the inside, okay? And you can sort of open at the top. The tanurim that we have even nowadays, which is saying that tanur shelanu or in the times of Rishonim, was the opening was from the side, okay? So that's what it's. So that is the way the Mukha Yosef explains the sugya. He says, "Pirusha asui keshovach shepiv min atzad ka'in tanur shelanu." Come, what would be the herchek? However, he says, "V'lo nahira," that doesn't make sense. Shrei anu kaim mahashta, because in this sugya matniti bacharcha min hakot, we're talking about the distances from the wall. V'lo bacharcha ka milamala. We're not talking about the distance from the any opening. We're talking about from the wall. The whole discussion is regarding the walls. Ella, therefore, he gives a different understanding. Ella m'diha pirsho asui keshovach, like a dovecote. Not that the birds enter on the side, but rather the structure of it. Rachav milamala, it's wide at the top, v'katzar milamata. As opposed to a tanurim like this, it seems to be shaped like that. Okay, he's asking what would be the dimension there, in terms of the distancing from what points. That's what it sounds like going to him. Adam Prashin continue with the Rishon, with the Nimuk Yosef. But we'll continue with the Marfud like we normally do. So the Gemara says, Shabbat, so Nishmina from the following case. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad she'et tachtav ma'aziva shlosha tfachim. So here we're talking about if you place it in an upper floor, you have to have underneath it some sort of plaster of three tfachim deep. Uba kira, when it comes to a stove, tefach, just a tefach. And the Gemara and it continues, v'kira, and a kira, isn't that lo kamin shovach? Isn't also shaped like a shovach in that sense? Well, how we understand shovachi? Lo kamin shovachi asuya, v'temar, so therefore you should say, bein milamala bein milamata tefach, v'kira, also bein milamala bein milamata shloshat tefachim. Just as there, that I mentioned on the side for a kira was one tefach, and also underneath it as well as one tefach. So you see the dimensions below on the side. Really, it's the same dimensioning. So to here by a tanur, if it has to be shaped not in a standard tanur fashion, then it'll be three tfachim from the widest point. Let's put it that way. Okay. That's that, which would be simple to understand it. We'll still get that way. Okay, now let's have a look at now the next halacha. This is Mishnah Halacha Bet. Lo imira notonu batoch beito. Now, if you're putting a tanur and oven in your house, you should not put it in your house ilin ken yesh agabav arba amot. You have to have four amot above it. That's about 2 meters. Why? The concern is that you're going to start burning the fire that's inside. It might come up and burn the floor above it. So you have to be a safe space. Okay? A real safe space, not a modern one. So like the, in other words, a gap between the two. Ella, im elim ken yesh arba amot, sorry. Hayam emedo balia, let's say you placed it above. Then you have to have below it a significant amount of safe padding, if you like, or protection, so that it doesn't burn downwards, which is shlosha tfachim. It has to be three tfachim, and what is it explained with a kira, which is like a stove that we said is a tefach. However, nonetheless, if it's nonetheless still causes damage, you have to pay. However, Rabbi Shimon says, no, Lord, if a chachamim gave this shiurim, it's to say that this is what's considered safe. Lo mar kol ashrim halalu, ela im ken izik. Mishalem. If the chachamim gave this shiurim, it's an exemption. So it seems to be if it would jump greater than those beyond the factors of safety that the chachamim worked out, then it would be considered like ones, and it wouldn't be chayav. Okay? That's machlokas chachamim, Rabbi Shimon. Let's have a look at the Gemara now. The Gemara says, lo yemid adam, tani, velo shel nefachim. Now this is interesting because we've just been talking about where you place the stove in terms of the safe dimensions. Now, when it says lo shel velo shel nefachim, a nefach is a smith. So you might think, oh, this is continuing based on the Mishnah we just read, that it could be talking about that a smith's fire is more dangerous or something like that. However, the Marfulda does not say that. He says, Nira de kol ha piska, everything we're about to read, and other Marfashim do say other parts that continue also agree with this point, is Amanit in Besamach, referring to the next Mishnah, which is Lo yiftach adam chanut tzabaim, which is, you're not allowed to open up a bakery or a dyeing production place underneath the otzar, the storehouse that's taking care of the produce of your friend. Also, a non-refer pekar. We'll get to that in a second. So back to the marfolda. Valzertani. It's referring to the later Mishnah. Veloshon nefachim sheyesh bein gam ken ashan tadir. Because the issue with making those type of like factories, call it that, beneath the otzar of your friend, is it's going to produce a lot of smoke, and that smoke is going to be damaging to the floor above. So that's why he understands when it says v'tani v'loshen nefachim, we're not only talking about dyers and bakers, also smiths as well, because blacksmith, because it also produces a lot of smoke. So it's referring to the next Mishnah, and that's not surprising. And many times we've seen Yerushalmi that it refers to like exactly. You know, sometimes what's written is actually not referring to this Mishnah, for a later Mishnah, just the way it's all broken up. And we discussed this recently. Fine. Vegam habaya keneged diratol mahu lo eza alamanit in de basamach. And also the next question, the Gemara relates to that. So let's just for a second look at the beginning of the next Mishnah. It says lo yiftach adam chanut shel nachtomim v'shabayim tachad otzar shel, which is not allowed to open up a bakery or a dyeing house, if you like, underneath the otzar, the floor below your friend who has a store, and also not a refa pakar, which is basically a barn that has all these cows and stuff inside it. Or bemet, really, be yayin et tiru, really, the smoke for wine is okay. You can have smoky wines, it's not bad, but not refa bakar because of the stench. That's what the Mishnah says. So let's go back to the Gemara back up. It says now, lo yamid adam, tani, v'lo shel nefachim, as we said, so tani rav karna. In have kagon kine o kanafach mitchila mutar. Now, exactly what that means is it's not 100% clear. So I'll just show you here. The Marful just says in have a hachanut ze shu poteach lanafach mitchila. In other words, if the hachanut ze that is opening was for a nafach and lanafach mitchila, which is for a smith initially, sounds like kagon kine o kanafach shea bo ashan tadir, which is a lot of smoke, then it's mutar. So I'm not really sure what he means by this, but it sounds like even in the Pnei Moshe doesn't explain the sugya like Marfulda. What it's saying is if the nafach preceded the otzar, it would be okay. Okay, that's the way he explains it. Nafach preceded the otzar, then it would be okay. Which is really that's also a bit difficult to say, I think, because we make that point much later on in Gemara. We'll get to that soon. That's towards the end of the day. So again, I'm not so comfortable exactly what is saying here. The Ashkenaz has a different pshat here. Okay, completely different gives a change. Doesn't with the Gemara at all. Okay, Besetta, let's just leave that. Okay, the Gemara now says, what about Keneged Dirato? What about, so again, this whole sugya we're talking about doesn't relate to this mission, relates to the next mission, the way the Marfil explains it. It says, what happens if we're talking about opening a bakery underneath the top floor is not a storeroom, but it's where someone lives? So the Gemara says, I'm Rav Ach, what are you talking about? Kol Sheken Keneged Dirato, Kav HaChomer, underneath someone's house, all the smoke you can't open up, it'll be disruptive. So if it's not for storeroom, kavah chomer dirato would be problematic. Now, Amar Rav Yochanan, hamazik ein lo chazaka. So something that is destructive, you can't say there's a chazaka, meaning Let's say someone at the guy opened a bakery and he's been there for a couple of years. The person who lives up above can say, "No, it's damaging." I'd say, "What do you mean? No one said anything to me. I've got a chazaka here. It's fine." Now, unless we say for when it comes to something mazik, something that's damaging, you don't have the concept of a chazaka. Marfulda says, "Lo marsh mishuzak kach shanim rabot." I've been doing this for years, but lo michabei, no one's bothered me. You would think, "Ain lo," he's got a chazaka, and then people living up above wouldn't be able to object. Anything that's damaging to a person, even if he waits 4 years to object, he can object, right? And that would, and he has a right to tell him he's not allowed to continue in the practice. Okay. Rabbi Yoshua Amar, Mamchi Rabbanan Ba'ashan Tadir. So this is important to understand when the Chachamim say that making something produced below can be problematic, that so it produces a smoke, it has to be that it produces a lot of smoke. Okay, like we said, at the bakery or a blacksmith's place or a dyer's place are producing a lot of smoke. However, why? Kahadechad ita, there was a woman. Tahavi madlaka, we've got chulin in front of us. According to the Marful, it's kala. Tachod Rav Ilfa, and it was before below Rav Ilfa. So exactly what she was doing is a bit of a discussion here. Marfulda says it was kala. She was like kalilan. She was like burning some. Kalilan is the plant from which they get the fake tchelet from. You know, that's what's the famous. That's where kalilan, the term, comes from. However, he understands the Pnei Moshe says we're talking about pechamim. So she's producing or burning some coal. Okay, and. Ravilla didn't like the smoke. He wanted to object and tell the Chachamim to tell her to stop doing it. Ata Uta Kamei Nasa came from Rasa. Amar lo Amro Ela Bashan Tadir. A few of she does a bit of smoky things here and there. That's not grounds to object. It's only if something's producing a lot of smoke that you can now object to it actually being performed. Okay, fine. Again, what the Gemara is trying to do is find within reason what's good practice, what's bad practice, what's damaging, what's not. When can someone object? As it continues, you'll see now. Next Mishnah. We discussed this already. That someone cannot, we said, cannot open a chanut of nachtolim, like a bakery or of dyeing, below the otzar of his friend, and not refer bakar. And bamet amu, as we already learned before, if it was wine up above, they allowed it because the smoke wasn't damaging, but not a refer bakar because of the stench. That would be damaging to the wine. Okay, now, Chanut lo Eini. Someone opens up a shop in someone's chatzer, he can object and say, "You cannot open the shop because I cannot sleep at night. People coming in and out, it's too disruptive." Okay? However, or Sim Kelim, he can produce Kelim and go out and sell it there, Bashuk. Meaning, you're allowed to make, it doesn't have to be the chatzer doesn't have to be a library. He can produce it and make noise and banging and hammering, but the having the whole making a whole shop and a thoroughfare everyone coming through, you can't object to that. You can object for lomar. I cannot sleep from the mikola pachisha, the hammer, lo b'kol rechaim from the mill, v'lo mikola tinokot. That's the famous sugi back in the Bavli, but it discusses opening up like a gun, for example, melamde tinokot, that you cannot object to. Okay. Now, lo yiftach adam. Let's go to the Gemara. Rav Yaakov bar Achi, panei chadchalitar min istiv leistiv. The Rav Yaakov bar Achi, his pani, he removed a chalitar, it's like a baker, sometimes makes like crackers or wafers or something like that, from one istav to istav. Istav here is, he says, from like a one, here, itzdaba, like one port to another. I told him to move because it was disruptive. Next case. Rav Avdumi, Achi Rav Yossi. So Rav Avdumi, the brother of Yossi, have echad chalitar shari tachtei. One of these chalit opened up below him. Ava Rav Acha went past, saw this, but Lomacha didn't object to its practice. Amar Rabbanan, Amar, he said, this is again Rav Avdumi. He says, Avrin Rabbanan, Avrin v'lo machli. They passed by and they didn't object. He was quite upset. However, that wasn't appropriate behavior, so Rav Acha was angry at him for his retort, for responding that way. Ivish Rav Avdumi actually became unwell, the brother of Rav Yossi. So Ivish Rav Acha Rav Yossi, of course, Ivish again is a word there. Salik Rav Yossi therefore went to visit his brother. Mevakrate, Amar Izil, he said, "Izil, I will go v'ibay mineh, and I'm going to ask for a mechila from Rav Acha." Azal Mar, he went to him. Omar Bey Din of Arachim Elave Bey Min Va'Ater Le Tachrichim. Now, exactly what this means is not so clear. I'll just read the Panim Rosh Hashanah, just a little bit better than the Marafulda. He says, "Az va'amra Beit Dinah." He went before the Beit Din. Why? Because v'sham hayah Rav Acha Rav Rosh Beit Din. He was Rav Beit Din. V'rachmu alav, and he had compassion upon him. V'tzivah lachin tzorchav, and a compassion to prepare the asot tachrib, the death trout. U'bezeh and ifayes. Now, why is that showing that? So you have to appreciate, if you go back to the previous Bnei Moshe, he's taking it, understanding the sugya, when he was sick and he was not well, Ala Rav Yosef Achiv, this is the previous year Makhil, Leveito, Levakerato, came to visit him. Ra'am Shemusukanu, he was unwell. The Ein Echad Ba'alavakro, no one was visiting him. Ulashkiach, look after his affairs. Oh, look after him, B'tikun Tzorchav. Why? Because Rav Ach was Ko'es Alav. So that's what Rav Yosef. So in other words, the way the Pnei Moshe understands the sugya is he had this. He spoke disrespectfully. Rav Acha was angry at him, and then Rav Avudimi got sick. His brother came and saw that everyone has basically abandoned him. Why? Because he was almost not cherub, but sort of put like an idui, if you like, sort of put aside. No one was looking after him because of the machlokes. Not machlokes, because how he what's it called? He because how he upset Rav Acha. And therefore, he went to and said, it was a Mavakesh, if you like, Bechila, and it says, okay, we should look after him and help prepare his death shrouds. I think he was going to die, but the fact he was looking after him showed that it was Moichel for whatever happened. That's one way of looking at the Sugya. Other people look at the Sugya, there was like in terms of why was he going to have to die? Was he going to die as a result? But we'll just go with the Pnei Moshe in this case. Barful is going slightly different, but fine, let's continue. Pad Barnash, one person, Machar called Darte. He sold his basically his entire house. Shayar Bar Chad Mastov. He left one Mastov is different explanation of what Mastov is, but Aliat Kir Ktana is according to the Marafulda. Sorry, the Penosha. According to the Marafulda, he says it's the bin, so like a porch. So he sold the whole place and he reserved the porch for himself. Okay, however. What happens? Vale, he would go there. That's his porch. Still going to go and sit there. Ata uvda kamei Rav Yonah. The incident, the Maisa came before Rav Yonah and Bar Yossi. Amrim lo kulam inach ma'el go beite. In other words, this is a privacy issue. How can it be possible that you can come and go, and I just and pardon me, I'll show you the powerful. This is local sheva for how is it possible you can go there and see people coming in and out of this house? It's actually interesting. The Pnei Moshe, it's not just like he says, not just who's coming in and out of his house, but also what's going on inside his house. It's like a privacy. What you're doing is not this isn't arrangement isn't right. So I saw an article actually that he explains that he objected to the whole situation, so therefore they'd either have to buy him out of the porch. Or undo the whole sale because this is not a usable arrangement. Okay, fine. Viable, sorry. So Magna says, Chabranash, Zavin Palga Darte. He sold half his property. And Shiar Bei Chada Nachtomar. Nachtomar is an offer, a bakery. And the question was, this produced a lot of smoke. The person next to him, can he object? So this kind of relates to what we're saying that we said the Panim Moshe made reference to before. Says out of the camera of your never in your see Amrin ata atit elavi hu lo atit alech, meaning you came into his domain with a bakery, he didn't come into your domain. So therefore, since the bakery preceded the other residents, therefore you can't object to all the smoke it's producing. Now, what the Mishnah is saying is, if you've got an otzar or a dwelling place above, and the whole issue with opening a bakery is if you're coming in and disrupting the situation. However, if it's pre-existing, the bakery, and someone buys the top floor, then you cannot object. Okay? Fine. But Tani ken, im kan mata refet or achanut, we even bring a bride to the proofs is if there's a refet or a chanut la otzar prior to the otzar being there, then ein yachal lechot. In other words, just because you buy an otzar and now you realize you bought a bad property because all the smoke and stench from below is going to ruin your stock, you have no pull or no weight to try to keep the person out below you. You came late. Okay, next. Tani, v'emet b'yayin itiru afal pishamamito ela mashpichol. So we said that in our Mishnah that if there is wine, that really having wine up above a bakery or a it's about in a dying house is actually okay because the smoke is actually improves it. So the Gemara is saying even though it's mamito, even though it might reduce it, cause some sort of evaporation, it still nonetheless improves it at the end of the day. So Rabbi Shai Katshama Hadin Itanai, he thought he heard this teaching. Yaiv Chamre Gu Agre Debane. So what he did, he basically what he did is he set up his cellar, his wine place, up on top of a bathhouse because he thought maybe it's related to the heat or the smoke or whatever it is, it's going to be good for me. So, however, Asri the Chamre. What happened is it ended up spoiling all his wine. Now, how did it end up spoiling his wine? So the Gemara says, Asri the Chamre, says, Amar HaMishnah Hitati. He says, one second, the Mishnah has undermined my business venture. It misled me. So the Gemara says, no, lo shehi itato HaMishnah, Ella, derecha de bane, the smell of the bane of the bath, and masrei de chamrei. In other words, okay, once again, what happened is that Rav Hoshaya, he heard this statement that wines above, like smoke-producing factories or whatever it is, like a bakery, a dying house, is actually good. So they're fantastic. Bathhouses also produce a lot of heat and smoke. Let me put my wine above that. It ended up spoiling. He thinks, one second, this Mishnah seems to be misled me. And the answer is, it didn't mislead you because there's other factors that can also spoil the wine, and that is a stench, which is very similar to the case of the Refet. You remember, a revel below is going to ruin it. So too, the stench that comes out of the bathhouse, that would ruin the wine. So his wrong extrapolation Mishnah doesn't mean the Mishnah is at fault here. It's his own practice. Okay, Beseder. We'll stop here and everyone have a good Shabbos. And Mr. Shem will continue from here on Sunday.
That was everybody. Thank you.